You took me back prior to my days of being a minister at Wayne State University in my gospel choir there. Used to sing that number all the time, and I haven't heard it in a few years. As some of you know, this is a very special day in the calendar for those of us who call ourselves Christian. And the New Testament reading that was read for your hearing this morning is one of the readings that described why this day is special. I would like for us to hear another gospel reading as the foundation for my message that gives just a slight difference, but the same story of the events that took place on the hill far away, just outside of the eastern gate that led into the city of Jerusalem. And if you turn to page, if you have the Pew Bibles, get those there, provided us by the wonderful ministry of the Primetimers and United Methodist Women, turn to page 129, and we will see in the 12th chapter of John, at the bottom of that page, we will see how John describes this triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Page 129 in the Pew Bible. Beginning with verse 12 in the 12th chapter of John, we find these words. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's coat." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, they then remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went out to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "Look, you see? Look, you can do nothing. Look at the look, the world has gone after him." May the Lord add a blessing unto the reading of his word. I don't think I need to remind you with, as you sit there with the palm branches, that today is Palm Sunday. This is the historic day that we remember the grand and glorious entrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he came gloriously into the capital city of Jerusalem. The people from all around the region came to this rocky road down the highway from the hillside of Bethany to the Mount of Olives, and from there down to the city which sits on a thousand hills. They came to rejoice, and they came to have a good time. As I might say, they came to shout all over the land. And as they were there, hopefully we can join them too in rejoicing about Jesus Christ. First of all, I want us to look at this scripture found in the gospel that Jesus, about his final entry. Surely you remember why the people were praising him. He had spent his youth and his young adult years doing all kinds of ministries for people wherever he traveled. Yes, they were pleased and happy. They were thrilled. They were overjoyed, if you might say, as they came there. This particular translation of the Gospel of John talks about how many of them had been with Jesus when he had done the most miraculous thing they had seen, when he raised Lazarus from the grave. Jesus, even as a youth, had taught the people like no rabbi had ever done. He had healed people like no physician had ever done. He had fed people in a miraculous way when they had no food. He had recruited ordinary people like you and like me to do extraordinary tasks in following him. He had built the spiritual family of God like no earthly king had ever done. And I want to pause for this moment just to remind you that in their eyes, the king that was the king of the secular society was the spiritual leader. For they did not separate society into political and spiritual as we in modern America do today. For they looked at their leaders, who were the leaders of their government, as being anointed by God. And they had tried to build the kingdom. You know how King David was there and many of the kings that followed from David. And yet he had built a spiritual family of God like no earthly king had ever done. He stood up for justice wherever he saw it needed to be addressed. He showed love for those who society deemed to be undesirable. He raised the dead, as I mentioned about Lazarus. And glory be to God, he forgave those who committed transgressions against the commandments of God. His work and his reputation within just a short period of time preceded him all over the land. On this very day, the crowds came out to give him a hero's welcome. They came out to shout and to clap their hands and to raise their hands and to have a good time as he rode by. Some might say they came to dance and to praise the very Son of God. This is the background out of which we can find this scripture is taken. Now, secondly, I want you to look at your life and to see what you have received for God. For I do not believe that those people described in the ancient days of the New Testament writing are the only people who have received blessings from God and have a reason to praise Jesus Christ today. Those people described in God's word are surely not the only people who have been blessed. For I ask you the familiar question that I'm reminded how Brother Mims likes to always ask you, has anybody here been blessed of God? I don't know. I heard a very mild kind of response to that. I think I need to ask that question again. I know sometimes in some of the classes, I know I enjoy teaching physical education when I substitute teach, and I go in there because we can get a little bit noisy. The gyms are separated from the elementary schools, and I'll say to the kids, are you happy today? Are you here? And they'll say, yes. I said, I can't hear you. Well, I said to you, have you been blessed of God? I couldn't quite hear you. Yeah. You see, we have been blessed today, and if you think of God's blessings, you can understand how and why some of us raise our hands when we think of God's blessings, when we sing the songs that of praise that remind us of how, why we have a reason to praise God in the first place. If you know you've been forgiven, then you know you have a reason to praise God. I was talking to my sister the other day back in my hometown of Lexington, Kentucky. I thank God that the telephone companies have come up with a way of making it so that we can make long distance calls by paying just a little bit more. We can make long distance calls unlimitedly as we do the regular calls. You see, Ann and I never had the blessing she does now, but for the most part of our marriage, we did not live in the communities where we could call family immediately. And our phone bills for long distance, from the time I finished Gammon, Brother Hill, my long distance phone bill for many years was anywhere from $200 to $300 a month. Amen. You see, we believed in my family that we ought to keep in touch with each other. And we not just don't limit it to funerals and family reunions. And that annual Christmas call we make to wish each other Merry Christmas. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And so I talk to her now sometimes almost every day. Now this is my sister that I kind of feel like I helped raise, for I was just a young lad when she was born. And you see, I grew up in a home that we come to call now dysfunctional. You see what God can do with you. And not everybody coming out of a dysfunctional home ends up in prison. Amen. And there were the one member was an alcoholic, and the other person was codependent, so that she became dysfunctional too. And in that home, I kind of raised this young lady, and I call almost every day, and she begins to tell me her story. For she reminded me the other day that more than 20 years ago, she came out of the doctor's office with a horrible piece of information. The doctor told her that she had colon cancer in a most severe fashion, not just colon cancer. And she said to me, she said, "Bradley, this was my second illness of a nature like this." And the doctor told her she had no more than 2 years to live. She said, "I told that doctor to go ahead and proceed and make plans for surgery." And she said, "I'd go home and get ready to live some more." For she said, she went home and began to pray that God's spirit would be within her life as God had been with her up to that point in her life. We had seen God in our lives when we were growing up in our home. For you see, I know what it's like to get up in the morning, and she reminded me that she does too, to get up in the morning and to see nothing in the refrigerator. I used to be grateful just to get up and find a piece of bread that I could put in the oven and toast. We didn't have no toaster, y'all. We were poor. No, we were poor. Some of y'all were poor, but we were poor. And she said, "You know, God took care of us, and none of us are looking as if we suffer from malnutrition. Just look at me, y'all. Do I look malnourished?" And she said, "You know, I told that doctor everything was going to be all right." She reminded me of her constant hope that she believed God would answer her prayers. Well, her prayers came true, because that was more than 20 years ago, and she was given 2 years to live. You see, even though the treatments, the surgery, the radiation, the chemotherapy were troublesome, she said, "Big brother, but you know, God is good. You know, it's been more than 20 years, and I'm still here in the land of the living." God healed her from the dreaded disease of colon cancer. And God supported her down through the years, through the struggles she has still experienced in these past years. She said, "Sometimes, Bradley, I have good days." She said, "I'm not going to say it like some folk you go around, and every time you see them, you think that they're not human, not living on the face of the earth. Every time you see them, they got a smile on you. You say, how you doing?" "Fine. Ain't nobody had it fine every day. Come on, I sometimes say, stop lying to me when you say, fine. You just got a false smile placed on your face, and you trying to hide the fact that you might be suffering on that day." Amen. And she said, "Bradley, sometimes I have good days, and sometimes I have bad days, and no matter whether a good day or a bad day, I still believe I'm here, that God is good. God's goodness is not based on whether I have a good day or bad day." All right. Now I know that your story may not be as dramatic as my sister's story, But I'm sure you can carefully understand why my sister loves to praise the Lord. She loves to come to church, and when she can't get out to church, to look at somebody, Bobby Jones, on BET television and to praise the Lord. But I'm sure you can understand that we all have reasons to be able to praise the Lord, even if we haven't been told that kind of dreaded news, even if we all haven't experienced dire poverty. You know, not everyone here has been laid off from a job. Not everyone here has been evicted and homeless as I have survived. Yes, I came home from school one day and our furniture and everything was all out on the front of the house. My uncle and his drinking had forgot to pay the rent. Not everybody's had it bad like that, but you and see how God has brought you over. But you know that in your own way, if you are honest today, you ought to be able to look at your life and understand how God has brought you through and over and around. But you know what? We need to do more than make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We need to commit ourselves to follow the way of Jesus Christ. For my sermon topic that I did not announce was praise and follow. Praise and follow the Lord. We need to commit ourselves to following the way of Jesus Christ. When we get ready for communion, we talk about being sinners who are saved by grace, and we say, to take communion, all you have to do is to intend to lead a new life. Well, we need to make a commitment to intend to do the things that Jesus Christ would have us to do. I believe that the significance of this grand entrance into Jerusalem is lost if all we see from this scripture is the enthusiasm and joy of this historical moment. The climax of the life of Jesus happened when Jesus was falsely accused, unjustly arrested, falsely convicted, and horribly tortured and murdered on a hill far away. Oh, church, the best thing Jesus did for us was during this phase of history, and it happened on Good Friday, for it was there that he sacrificed his life, not for crimes that he had committed. It was there that he gave his life as a sacrifice for our sins, for our misjudgments, for our mistakes. He paid the price for our salvation. You see, I'm not only grateful today for God for putting food on my table, and I am. I got up this morning, and not like my home of origin. I got up, and there was some bread, and I could put some bread in the toast. There was some butter I could put on my bread. But it's not just that I praise God for. I'm not only grateful because God put a roof over my head. I know that some places there are people who don't have roofs to go over their head because of tornadoes or whatever the cause may be. You know, I'm often reminded as I drive through areas where there are people sleeping up under viaducts and up under the bridges who have to go, and they don't have a home to go in. But that's not just why I woke up this morning in a nice, comfortable bed. That's not the only thing I praise the Lord for. I'm not only glad that God woke me up this morning when I could have been laying in my bed, where the four corners of that bed would be the four corners of my grave. But that's not the only thing that I praise God for today. I'm ecstatic that Jesus loved me so much that he died for my salvation. My God is more than good. You know, we say God is good. Well, my God is great. I'm saved because I know that Jesus bought the ticket for my salvation that day on Friday on Calvary's cross. But my Bible tells me that some of the people that were there on that day when Jesus went before Pilate disappeared. You know, they're these kind of friends when things are going good, they're all around you. You know, when you're happy, I've experienced some friends like that. You know, when things were going good and we were inviting them for dinner and we were having all kind of good experiences, they were there, and then you have a little hard time and have a little sickness and they don't pick up the phone to call you and say, how you doing? And there were folk like that there who laid palm trees down. They'd been there and they'd seen Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but once all this came down, they were nowhere around. Some of them were with Jesus, and as you know, when they were being asked to even do you to say, do you know him? Peter denied even knowing the man three times. You see, I thought about how sometimes when it's not politically to our advantage, we can deny. I thought of that the other day when I looked at the television and my candidate, Barack Obama, distanced himself from his pastor. You know, some folk distance themselves if it doesn't look politically safe to do so. All right now, I'm getting real with y'all now. Some of those folk in that crowd were just like that. When Jesus went up on that cross, they were somewhere out hiding somewhere. And other people who had joined that crowd then later screamed for Jesus' unjust death on the cross. For some of the people that asked for Jesus rather than Barabbas are some of the very same people who had been there praising and shouting and looking all good. However, a small band of those who were there with him when he rose and he commissioned them, they went on to follow him. You see, they continued the ministries which he had started. They went on and recruited others to join the family of God. That's evangelism, y'all. Now, I used to think of it, recruitment. You know how the military has recruitment? Well, God's army has recruiters. All of us who are his disciples are asked to go out and recruit folk for the family of God. They were there, and they too, some of us, ministered to those who were in need as Jesus had done. They even sacrificed to follow him. Some of them even followed him with their own deaths as they were faithful to their commitment to follow Christ. The conclusion of this story does not end on Good Friday, church. It does not even end with the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday. In fact, this story does not even end with the last word of the book of Revelation. The glorious story of God's love for humankind is still, church, unfolding. You see, we are writing the words of God and the history of God's family even as we are here today. It's being reenacted as the Holy Spirit blesses us today. The story is being continued when we decide to follow Jesus Christ by ministering in the world of 2008. Finally, my sister used to remind me every time I talk to you, she said again, there are good days, praise God, and there are bad days, which God supports us through. But old hymn says it best when what to expect if we follow Christ. If you commit to Christ, it says, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. How happy are the saints above who once went sorrowing there, but now they taste unmingled love and joy without a tear. The consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set us free, and then go home my crown to wear, for there's a crown for me. The followers of Christ must carry the love of God for one another in the church. We need to love each other. Don't you know when people who are out in the world come in here and they want to look at us and see how we treat each other, and they may decide, I don't know if I want to join that church. Look how they treat each other. We must work with the variety of ministries of our church for the betterment of the church, community, and for the world. I'm sure that Jesus has done so much for many of us, and we must surely praise God from whom all blessings flow to us. And when we finish all our praising of the Lord, we must follow him in ministering in the world. And when our time comes, for our time to meet God in glory, I'm sure that Jesus will be there saying, well done, thy good and faithful servant.